Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, October the 3rd, 12th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the new guy in the bay. You like that one? Yeah. Jack Critter, who is the executive director for the Humble Bay Recreation Conservation, what's the other one? Harbor District, yeah.
You got it.
We always get him out there. The order is a little rough sometimes. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good, good. This afternoon we'll spend a little bit of time talking about who Jack is, why he landed here, some of the hopes and aspirations, and we'll see if we can avoid some of the undue influence of the elected officials.
Good luck.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, really short tethers this one. Yeah. So we'll talk about what Jack is seeing as far as the future of the Humble Bay Harbor District when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jack Critter. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Edmund Burke. All that's necessary, I bet you recognize the quote, however. All that's necessary for triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
Yeah. So, Jack, where'd you come from, man?
Well, you know, the last 4 years, the Port of Astoria, and then prior to that, for about 16 years, the Port of Tillamook Bay. So this is my third port, and you know what they say, third time's a charm.
Oh, I thought third time the boat goes down.
No.
How comparable is Astoria, which we hear is very economically viable, mm-hmm, and humming along, versus the port of Humboldt that historically has been extraordinarily viable, but in the last 30 or 40 years hasn't been?
Well, there is a lot of similarities. I mean, Astoria is going through kind of a nice little boom now, mostly driven from big box retailers that are taking advantage of the lack of taxes in Oregon and their borders with Washington, and also their close proximity to the Portland metro area. So it's all about location. Flip side, as far as Humboldt, I definitely now have an appreciation of the redwood curtain and the challenges that creates. But certainly the assets here are phenomenal. And that was one of the things the commission, when I was interviewing, they asked, why on earth would you want to come to Humboldt County and the state of California? We're broke. And I simply said, well, with the asset of that bay, you'll never be broke. And I am sure that Humboldt County is way ahead of a lot of the other counties in California.
Well, as you look at Humboldt, and certainly we've got a close proximity to the Asian countries, okay, fine. And we've got the guys south of us impacted, okay, fine. But the huge amount of environmental regulation here versus Oregon, is there a way, do you see a scenario, mm-hmm, where Humboldt Bay could become thriving is relative, so I don't want to eat. An economically viable source of jobs, of, I guess, just an economically viable. Not as it is, but as it should be.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody talks about the environmental challenges, and I think all the three western states are all connected at the hip. We all have salmon. We all are dealing with a lot of the same endangered species. Oregon has also their form of a coastal commission. So, I don't really actually see it being much different. In fact, there's some aspects to Oregon where the regulations are actually more stringent than California, believe it or not.
So, no, I don't.
So I don't really see that as really as a deterrent. You know, it's all about being patient with the regulatory agencies and working through the issues, and it's frustrating and it's expensive, but that is the process and it's the card we were dealt. And I've actually seen the Harbor District and others work effectively with those agencies and get projects through. So I don't see that as a big one.
So let's throw in the wild card, the segment vocal active in our area that is not supportive of economic viability and growth. I mean, you've been here for more than a day, so you've seen it, you feel it, you see some of the things that have... the repercussions of it over the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that's surmountable? Or do you think that we will continue to be, whether it's a spider on ice or whatever, where we're just pulling at each other, trying to tear ourselves apart and not really taking advantage of the potential that Humboldt Bay has?
You know, when you look at Humboldt Bay 20 years ago and the pulp mills were going, the mills were going, everything was, lots of natural resource jobs. And within the last, really, 10 years is when we've seen things kind of slip. And they also slipped in Oregon. So we're starting to see a rebound. I'm starting to see a rebound, and it's purely... on tonnage, as a manager of a marine commerce, you look at tonnage numbers, and I've been so impressed with what Humboldt Bay has done during the 07, 08, 09, when their tonnage was absolutely the lowest amount and going down. You were able to secure federal funding for dredging. You were able to, you went out and made the gamble and the deepening project. And now we're starting to see that payback. Our tonnage has started to increase. You're starting to be competitive. We see California Redwood continue to expand into the export market. We're starting to see some additional log exports. So the rebound is on its way. My biggest challenge here now is to have adequate facilities. Interesting, 20 years ago, you look at the docks and you look at the structures, and actually things were in pretty good shape. But once you hit to that point of no return, we've gotten to that point of no return. So,
speaking of not returning, we will.
Okay.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jack Kreider from the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation Conservation District. Jack, as you look at Humboldt Bay as an outside guy, as somebody who probably, while you may have your feet in the mud, you're not stuck in concrete at this point yet, what do you see with the fresh eyes? And, of course, everybody's been nibbling on you, too. But what do you see as the biggest potential for economic viability for the Bay?
You know...
I guess the district would be more fair.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right now what I've been primarily focused on is just administrative things. Certainly somebody that comes from other ports brings a lot of different ideas, and certainly having that fresh eyes has been good. Good in the fact where, some of the financial controls, some of the issues that haven't been addressed in many years are now being addressed. The district had drained the reserves down quite low, and so now we're in that process of rebuilding those reserves. Infrastructure is one of the biggest issues that I've concerned with. I mean, I've looked at all the docks, and I did the typical, you know, Google Earth, and everything looks wonderful, you know, from 50,000 feet, you know, but as you get down on the water side, you realize, you know, that the structure's in pretty poor shape, and the ones that are in good shape are not configured properly. They're T-docks, or they don't have good access, and consequently the labor costs for loading ships and ship vessel costs are high, and unfortunately then the private dock owners basically lower their dock fees and in order to compensate for those high costs, and they never generate enough revenues to actually properly repair their docks and their facilities. And
so is that something that is the Harbor District's responsibility to reconfigure the docks, or when it comes time for replacement, do it better because you have a better idea of what the current market needs are?
Well, I think it is. It is our responsibility. I mean, trying to increase commerce, to the bay is our responsibility. And without that that commerce, without that tonnage, we'll never be able to compete for dredge dollars. And consequently, the bay is going to fill in. We're going to be back to those dangerous bar conditions. And, I mean, Humboldt Bay is only second to the Columbia River. And I'm very familiar with the challenges of the Columbia River. And there's $15 to $20 million that are spent every year dredging the Columbia River. So, you know, we've done a good job, but, you know, we need to do better. This still is a huge breadbasket here. There's tons of resources here. You're lucky in the fact that you've got so many mills. Large mills are actually still operating and producing product, in comparison to Oregon. Oregon has seen a more significant reduction in the number of mills. So you're actually in pretty good shape. So I see a lot of resources again. Asia, of course, I've got some experience in Astoria and developing chip facilities, log export facilities. And one of the big ones now is the wood pellet industry. Canada has done a great job of supplying basically Europe with wood pellets. Now the shift is Asia. They've basically signed the Kyoto Protocols. They're having a challenge with their emission standards, and they burn coal, and they need to blend those pellets, those wood pellets, with that coal in order to meet those standards. So I see that being as a potential here.
With the cash flow picture that's in place currently for the Harbor District, are you in a spot to be able to really start to address or look at addressing that infrastructure? Or is I don't think the bond market necessarily is a lucrative one right now. Yeah, you get hammered on that one, so you don't want to set yourself up for an issue there.
Sure.
Is it identifying the needs, or can you start actually addressing some of them in the recessionary climate that we're in?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we've already addressed some of the real basic needs and what drives some of the cost, the loading cost up. And some of the needs are actually fairly simple on some of the docks. And so, really, instead of talking of tens of millions of dollars, we're talking $1 million worth of improvements that could have a significant impact on loading cost. And, this is a world market, and we have to compete. And if we can't get our cost, within market reason, we're not going to be selling the products.
Is the demand out there?
It's
right now.
It is there. It comes and goes, but right now the demand is there. Interesting enough, not a lot of attention is actually worldwide has been paid to Humboldt County and Humboldt Bay, and so when I came on board, when I started actually introducing, Humboldt Bay, a lot of my contacts, a lot of folks I dealt with in Astoria were very curious of it. And again, they did the Google Earth and got all excited what they saw. And then, of course, once I got my feet on the ground, I could talk to them about the realities and the investments that are needed. But there are a lot of resources here.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Jack Kreider.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jack Kreider. Jack, what's the biggest surprise people would have when they get to know you?
I mean, a
lot of time, you know, the appointed, the executive director is a big, right. You know, either you're seen as all-knowing, you know, Oz,
yeah,
or don't know anything. I almost said don't know Jack, but of course that would be redundant, so you know Jack. and we're going to have to teach you the ropes.
Yeah.
What's the surprise about Jack?
Well, I think that a lot of folks are surprised with the variety of things that I've done. You know, I was a seafood processor before I got involved in the port business. I had three fish processing plants and 75 employees. Prior to that, I was a fish biologist.
Now, was this before the PFMC?
Yeah, okay. No, I got out just the right time. I was a graduate of Oregon State and thought I wanted to be a fish biologist and realized real quick that slow progression. And my dad called me up one day and said, maybe you can make more money if you weighed the fish instead of counting them. And he was right. And that worked very well for quite a few years. But the Tillamook gave me a lot of experience. I ran a short line railroad, 100-mile short line railroad for about 16 years. 1,500 acres.
That must have been a challenge.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've run managed two airports, one regional airport up in Astoria. I've built biogas manure digester plants, large compost facilities. In fact, that's one of the things that, you know, I wish I would have known about Humboldt County and the soil blenders and all the activity here, because I could have certainly sold them a lot of digested fiber back in those days.
Timing. It's always timing.
It was,
isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Where, if you had your druthers with the economic realities that there are, where do you see the Harbor District in 20 years? My grandfather ran for mayor in the early 60s. And when he bought the station, it was here in Santa Rosa. And he saw more potential here because of the harbor. When he was running in the 60s, he saw more potential because of the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everybody running for office looks at the harbor and says, we got to get more jobs. Okay. So it's pretty well ensconced in the community that there's potential,
mm-hmm,
unrealized, frustratingly unrealized potential. Just go out 25 years. So you've been here, you've made your mark, the tides have erased your footprints.
Yeah.
What does the Harbor District look like for Jack in 25 years?
You know, one of the things that attracted me to this job is the aquaculture. You don't come out of Oregon State University without being a salmon farmer or an oyster farmer. So I see the harbor being fully utilized in oyster operation, seed production, and also with hatcheries. That's one of the things that we're missing here is basically seed setting hatcheries.
The fish farm?
Oyster. This is all oyster. Humboldt Bay is absolutely critical to the entire West Coast oyster industry. And so certainly the quality of water that comes into this bay is phenomenal and will support a lot of expansion. I'd also see a huge potential just solving some of our own transportation problems here. The volume of trucks because of that redwood curtain is just phenomenal that comes in and out of this county. And even today. Oh, even today.
Of course,
you don't have
references of yesterday.
Well, but still, I mean,
today,
it impacts the prices we pay for everything. And you know the short sea shipping, the barge, tug combos. These are models that have been done up and down the entire West Coast. They do a lot, basically in the Columbia River, a lot in the Gulf. So there's no reason why we can't solve some of our transportation costs connecting ourselves to the Bay Area through bug and barge and tug service. I see that on a regular basis. Just the lumber alone, the volume of lumber that ultimately comes out of this area is pretty phenomenal, and a lot of it goes down to the Bay Area.
So why hasn't it happened yet? Why haven't others seen these potentials, or have they, and has it been muted?
Well, everybody kind of goes through the process of trying to identify the cost and get a handle around the cost. Trucks, they're great competitors. They basically operate pretty inexpensively. And so we'll go down through the process of identifying some potentials. A small, very, very small percentage of the total 2,000 trucks that comes in and out of this county every day has enough potential to support at least a weekly barge service. Whether the numbers work, we don't know. We're going to find out. But one of the key components that has to be started first is labor. Labor is absolutely critical. And a lot of times people look at infrastructure first. They try to figure out the mechanics of docks and cranes and all those things. And then once they've solved that, then they start thinking about labor. And that's the wrong way. That's the wrong approach. So labor is critical. We need to actually look at those labor costs and make sure that they're totally on board, and then start looking at some of the infrastructure. Of course, the big issue around here is the train. That's another thing I've done. I've done rock by rail operations. The port there in Tillamook also had two rock quarries, and so I see some potential for the north-south with the existing infrastructure that's here. I've also done passenger rail operations in Tillamook. So there's definitely a variety. Astoria's got a great example of a trolley and trail that's been extremely successful. So I see components. As far as a new line, one of the things I'd like to see is ultimately they're talking about the east-west line and the potential, and certainly understand that. I mean, a new rail line here would be fantastic. But we don't want to invest so much money that we can't compete. We're competing with the Bay Area, and certainly they're not going to let us take their business away without a fight. And so we make sure that we don't invest so much money that we really can't compete. And it's real critical to make sure that the Class 1s, the Union Pacifics, the Burlington Northern Railroads are fully engaged, fully online, and hopefully invested in a potential new line.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Jack Critter.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jack Critter. Jack, if people want to get a sense of what the Harbor District really is all about, I know there's been an awful lot of emphasis on the public hearings and outreach in the communities and things like that. What I sense a lot of it is taste of individual pieces of the pie and not seeing the pie. Mm-hmm. How do you get an overall, or how would you suggest somebody who's not that familiar, mm-hmm. get an overall of what the Harbor District does, and then perhaps share where they think the priorities ought to be? Mm-hmm. If it's in the economic development side, okay, let us know. If you think it ought to be in another area, okay, let us know. How do you develop that interconnectivity, not with vested, mm-hmm. but with the regular guy in the community?
Mm-hmm. This is my first experience being on TV, so it's interesting in that fact, and certainly keeps the public that watches TV at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, that's usually when it comes on, informed of what's going on in the Harbor District. Obviously, it's satisfying folks because we don't have very many people at our meetings. I would encourage folks, if they want to get involved, is come to the meetings, listen, ask questions. It's a very extremely open board. They're very receptive to new ideas. They give the opportunity for public comment on every issue. This is something new. Typically, most commissions, there's a process where you have maybe a couple public comment periods during the course of the meeting. Well, this commission allows public comment on every issue, so it's wide open. Certainly, I'm still in this 5 months later, still in this process of trying to figure out exactly what our strategic plan really means and what goals we're really heading down to. But I think it's starting to get formulated. We do have a pretty good plan. We've gone from a plan that 4 or 5 years ago that covered everything, maintenance, everything, to a plan now that is pretty basic, that identifies the projects that we're working on and the goals that we're working on, and so I'm still working from those from that project list, which is part of our strategic plan. And
well, maybe in a couple of years you'll figure out what you're supposed to be doing.
That's right. Exactly. You're right. Exactly.
Well, thanks for coming by.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Okay, gauntlets down. We'll do that one. You've been listening to Talk Shop. We've been talking with Jack Kreider. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.
Great.